This is Solve It for Kids.
Hey, 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 you are looking fantastic. Come on in. Hi, my name is Jed Lee, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek into the real world of scientists, engineers, and experts as they solve problems in their jobs using curiosity, creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. Right now, I'd love to introduce you to my co-host, my partner in exploration, the dean of all things STEM and STEAM, Jennifer Swanson.
Hello, Jed. Sounds like you are excited about today's episode.
I am excited about every Solve It for Kids episode. Every episode, I am learning something new. And that's really, and it proves that old dogs and old podcasters can learn new tricks.
Well, that is true. You can, because these podcasts are designed for kids of all ages, and we know we have adults listening who are learning some really cool science and engineering too. Isn't that awesome?
It really is awesome. I feel honored. I mean, the people that we've interviewed are just like nuclear physicists and astronauts and like world famous aquanauts. It's like incredible. Can you imagine? This is like real. If you didn't catch it yet, you know there are like Murphy and Sons moving companies that are like generations like in the same business. We interviewed Fabien Cousteau, part of like the multi-generational oceanography Cousteau family. That's amazing.
Yeah, and he was fantastic, and I cannot wait to see where his new proposal for the building the underwater spaceship goes. I would like to visit one day. What do you think?
Absolutely. Yes. And go outside to go. Never mind. That's the reason I bring it up is that if this is the first time you're listening to Solve It for Kids, you've got to check out our archives, and you can find all those episodes at solveforkids.com.
Yes, absolutely. Now, today we have an engineer. Yay, engineering!
Awesome. And did we decide what question we're going to ask the engineer?
We did. But wait, before we do this, okay, Don't we have to welcome a couple of new members to our Solve for Kids team?
We do. Do you have the names where you are?
I do. So we would like to say welcome to Reese and Catherine. Thank you for being members of the Solve It for Kids team.
Hey, yeah. Reese and Catherine, welcome. I love it. I love it when young ladies are getting interested in STEM.
Absolutely. Girls in STEM, women in STEM, all the way.
That rocks. Okay.
Now you have to do the spin the wheel.
The spinny wheel thing? Okay.
Yes.
Here we go.
How do you get a lot of water from where you don't want it to where you do want it?
Okay, now this is like a puzzle, I think. How do you get a lot of water from where you don't want it to where you do want it? I don't know, like Dixie cups and just
ooh,
like...
I think this is going to be really interesting. Talk about engineering at a basic level. And we are so thrilled to have civil engineer and artist Tamika Grooms on the show today to talk to us all about it. So she's a true STEAM person because she's an engineer and she's also an illustrator artist.
This is awesome. All right. Well, welcome to the show, Tamika.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on Solve It.
Yeah, I have a question though before we begin. I don't mean to be rude, but civil engineer, does that mean that you're an engineer that's polite?
Yes, I am, but I can't speak for my coworkers.
No, so why don't we just start there? Why don't you tell our listeners, what does a civil engineer do?
Okay, so civil engineers, they build the environments that all of us use. And a lot of times it can include the utilities that are in the ground, so your water, your sewage. It can be buildings, it can be roads, it can be a lot of different things that everybody uses every single day.
Awesome.
So it's very practical engineering.
Yeah, and things we don't even think about, but know we need to have, because I believe you said sanitation?
Yes.
That takes all the waste from the toilet out of your house into the right place.
Yeah, that's really important.
Yeah.
Well, Tamika is here to help us solve the problem.
Okay.
How do you get a lot of water from a place where you don't want it to a place where you do, which it doesn't seem like it would be that hard. However, I know there's a catch in here somewhere.
Well, the catch is, how do you, if you have different materials that are going from one place to another?
Oh, okay.
Those materials, like say if it's water, it may be different from the stuff that's coming out of your house and your toilet.
So there's a difference between like the rainwater that comes down and the brown water that comes out of your house.
It is.
Okay.
So your job is to make sure both of these liquids or these types of water get into the right place, it either together or separately. How does that work?
So you really want it to be separated so that the engineers in another place can treat it and make it clean again. And sometimes they use the water that's dirty and they clean it up and use it for something else or send it somewhere else. And then the sewage that's coming from your house, they use that as well. And so they may use that for fertilizers or different types of things. So there's different applications for everything.
This is out
so that they're not going to.
Yeah, I guess this is really, really important to do because you don't want to waste the rainwater and mixing it up with the nasty house water.
Exactly.
So can you give us an example of how you might do this out in the field, which is what you refer to when you work outside, right?
Well, so I'm a designer and I create the plans and the paper to tell people who are in the field doing construction how to build it. And so I come up with the ideas and then they go and take those ideas and put it in the ground. So what I do is I draw lines and things on the paper that they can understand. And then they go and they get the pipes, they get the materials, they get the landscaping, and they put that in place in the field so that we can get the water from one place to another.
And does this work for buildings or houses or like subdivisions? How do you do that?
All of it works together. So that's the great thing. It's not just specific. You have to look at all the houses. You have to look at the buildings. You have to look at the parking lots. You have to look at your parks because those bring in water too. And all of those things take water from a higher place to a lower place. And that's when ponds come into play.
So what happens with are these retention ponds that you're talking about?
Yes, retention ponds are what we're usually working with. So we want to hold the water for a little while and then let it go out a little bit at a time so it doesn't flood the whole area, but we want to hold it so that it's a wet pond for people to go to a park in or to play different types of, I don't know, like go fishing or whatever, but it, like a park area for people to enjoy.
So you're telling me most, because I live in Florida, so we have retention ponds everywhere because we have so much water because, you know, our groundwater is not, you dig a hole too deep and you hit water here. Uh-huh. But, so are you telling me that all these retention ponds actually have a way to run off water somewhere?
Right. So the designs that we pull together, so say if we're having water come from a roof or from the surfaces or from your streets, and then it goes into a pond. If we have too much water going to the pond, then it floods the whole area. So you have to let a little bit out at a time. And that's why they call it a retention, because it holds it for a little while and then it lets it out.
Ah, which is different than a detention pond, which is where all the bad water goes to.
Well,
that was bad.
That was a good bad joke. You may not get points for that one.
So, you know, that's something. So, okay, also here in Florida, since we're going to talk about Florida, we have lots of rain and then it floods. So is that a problem with where the water's going? Because say it rains and then it floods the streets. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that the runoff from the street is not good because it's not moving the water?
Well, when you say good, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, just because there's all of a sudden there's a flood, right? Mm-hmm. So is it too much water coming down at one time, or?
So yeah, it could be too much water coming down at one time. There's a thing called 100-year floods that we have to watch out for. And when there's a lot of water that comes in, it can flood whole areas. And it does happen periodically, but engineers try to design for that so that we have enough ways to store the water in our ponds, in our storm systems, in our, you know, different kind of facilities. We hold the water and then we let it go somewhere else, but we have to build the spaces big enough to hold those things, or hold the water rather.
Are all these things underground?
Underground. Most of the time underground.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know anything about that either until we moved here to our home, which is next to a wetlands and a wildlife sanctuary. And when we first moved in, when it rained really hard, right, the area right in front of our house flooded. And then they came and they built a little retention pond, but it was underneath the ground, and now it mostly disappears.
Yeah. Yeah, miraculously, right?
Absolutely. Because we moved in, we said, this is a problem. I don't, we don't know. And then next thing, there was trucks and things were better.
Yeah. Engineers are magicians too.
Exactly. They make, so, okay. So you're saying, I mean, because, you know, I'm one of those people that has to get this in my mind. So the water comes down, it goes into the storm drain. Are there pipes that from the storm drain that lead it where it has to go?
That's right. That's right. So the pipes catch the water, and the pipes have to be big enough too. So hopefully it's only storm water that's going down the drain. Hopefully it's not garbage and dirt and all kinds of other things, but sometimes it is. But there's water that has to go down. And if the pipes are too small, if you were trying to get water through a straw, it would back up, right? Yes. But if you were trying to get water through, I don't know, a humongous pipe, then that water would go a little bit smoother and it wouldn't fill up. So the pipes have to be the right size to hold the water that's going through.
So that's part of what you do, is you design and try and figure, how do you figure out the pipe size? Is there math involved, or is there?
There's a lot of math and formulas involved. And then you have to look at the type of the material too. So concrete is gonna be different from plastic, because plastic is nice and smooth.
Right.
Or if you have concrete, that's a little rougher. So there's some math that goes into that to figure out how materials affect flow.
Oh, flow would be like how fast it goes or slowly it goes.
Exactly.
So water goes through a plastic pipe faster than it goes through a concrete pipe?
It does.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's math. Hint, hint.
There's math. Right. There is math.
This is where you used your math, kids, right here, as an engineer.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the engineers, they use other tools too. So there's math, there's some creativity that goes into it. And, you know, we work in teams too, so you have to be able to, you have to like people. It's good to like people.
Yes.
Even as an engineer.
I'm wondering, Tamika, how far usually does the water have to travel? Because, like, in the example from my house, it basically just has to go from the street underneath the ground and into this big retention pond. Sometimes you have to take it a long way?
Yeah, I think so. That's kind of hard to say, though, because a lot of times if a developer is developing a subdivision, then they're only dealing with the space that they're designing. But if you're working with a city, they may have bigger plans to capture water from, you know, different neighborhoods and different businesses. And so they look at a bigger overall plan on how to get the water to the water treatment plant. So it really depends. It depends. Mm.
So some of these pipes can be, that are underground, can be big, like 3-4 feet across.
Right, right. So the ones that are coming from your neighborhood might be 8 inches, but the ones that are, they call them trunk lines, they can be huge, like 96 inches, which is pretty big, you know?
So, wow.
Yeah.
And that's like the diameter. So like across, 96 inch across.
So people walk in them. I don't walk in them.
I was going to say, I don't know if I would walk in them.
No. It's not for everybody.
Because these are like underground, right?
They're underground.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Wow. That would be amazing. Walking underground in a water pipe and you can stand up in it and walk in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The storm pipes can get to be really big. And the way the engineers build them, sometimes they can be pre-made pipes that you get from a factory, or you can actually build the bricks to be the trunk line that the water's flowing through.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So have you designed big pipes like that?
I have not. Usually I work with the smaller ones that are getting the water to the ponds or to the whatever type of treatment plant that it's going to. So I'm usually working with smaller diameter pipes.
Now, I was saying how cool it must be able to walk underground in a big pipe like that. But as I think about it, it's probably like a really dangerous thing, because if it rains or something like that, you could be in big trouble.
Yeah. There's things you have to watch out for. Sometimes when you're underground, there's fumes and poisonous gas that you have to watch out for.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't know what's down there, and those fumes can put you in danger sometimes too. And there's other things floating in our storm sewers too.
So basically we're saying, don't go down in the drain.
Don't go down the drain.
Don't go down in the drain.
Not unless you're with an engineer that knows what they're doing.
Right, that knows what they're doing. Exactly.
Yes.
What's the biggest project you've helped design?
I think probably the project that I just finished, it's a pond project, and I say big because of the land mass that it included. So, there's a pond in downtown Atlanta, and we had to, as a team of engineers, we had to design the pipes that got the water to go to the pond. There's another set of engineers that actually designed the pond. And then there's engineers that do landscaping that hold the water a little bit longer on the surface. So you have to think about all the things that the water touches, and that all the engineers come together to put the design together.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I do have to say this. If you're in Florida, don't go into the retention ponds, because you need to assume that there's an alligator in there. Just saying. There's gators everywhere in Florida. Do not go into retention ponds. No matter how much they look like regular ponds.
Have you seen alligators out there?
Oh, yeah. We have a gator in the front of our subdivision. He comes over. Now, see, we have retention ponds everywhere in our subdivision. But in the front, it drains to a swamp. So there's which is a protected wetlands. So there's a swamp on the other side. So he'll come over through the tunnel on occasion, and he'll float around in there. And everyone's like, oh, the gator's here. So we actually all go down and take pictures of him.
Do you feed him?
We do not. No. They're not feeding gators. But here, it's not unusual in Florida to have gators on golf courses. I mean, in fact, my dad's been playing, and they have to wait while the gator walks across the green.
Oh, wow.
And they just, for the most part, just you don't go anywhere near them. But they'll leave you alone. They're just really moving from one place to another.
Okay.
So, Tanika, it sounds like part of being a civil engineer is being an artist, because you have to visualize all the, it's just not, oh, I need a pipe. I need the water to go from here to over there and just put a pipe in it and that's it. There's a lot going on, and you really have to think creatively and think of all the different materials that are there, just like an artist.
Mm-hmm. So it's more of a scientific creativity, because you have to follow the rules too. So you can't really go too far outside of the box, and, they give you the rules to follow. They tell you a lot of times what type of materials they want, and you have to size it properly. They give you ideas about what the vision is sometimes, but you as an engineer are allowed oftentimes to be creative and come up with ideas of how you want the plans to be. I used to do small restaurant designs, and so that let me... I guess, let's see, how to explain it. that let me be a little bit more creative because I was working with a, I don't want to name the chain, the restaurant.
Right. No, that's fine.
But it let me be a whole lot more creative. So yeah, engineers definitely have to be artists as well.
Which also segues wonderfully into the fact that you are also a real artist, if I, you know.
I am.
So tell us a little bit about that. Like what kind of medium do you work in and what is your, you know, do you tie that to your engineering or is this just like, hey, I get to be creative and make whatever I want?
I like to use both sides of my brain. So the engineering lets me use the left side and the art lets me use the right. So some of my artwork is very expressive and I'm painting all the time. But I also use the computer too. So I bring that in as well and I do digital design. So it's not engineering, but it is somewhat technical because I have to think about the geometry and the colors and all the different things that come into being an artist. I pull on the engineering side as well to kind of create things that are in my mind a little more creatively. So it's using the other side of my brain.
That's awesome.
How much fun is that to have a picture in your brain? And then to be able to use whatever tools you're using, whether it's a paintbrush or pencils or a computer, and to make that, take that picture, just like you took water from one place and brought it to another place, take a picture that's in your mind and then bring it to life.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the cool thing about being human, though? Like, all of us have that creativity that we can pull from, but it's just, do you want to sit down and think and imagine and vision what the world could be like? You know, and that could be anything that you're interested in. It could be, I don't know how you can save the whales, but you have to imagine.
Yes.
It can be like so that you can create it in the real world. So.
All right. And see, and everyone, this is a podcast you're listening to, but what you're missing is this beautiful smile that's on Tamika's face as she's talking about her art. So we know that this is passion. We've talked about this before in the show. Your passion for your art just comes out and that's kind of how you express yourself. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do actually like having both sides of my brain. So the engineering side lets me be more technical and things in order and analytical. And then the art side lets me imagine and kind of be a little more free. So, I like both. I like it that way.
So yeah, so it would be STEAM in action. We've talked about that, where the art is added to STEM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you ever find some of your the arty side really influencing your engineering side sometimes, and then vice versa?
It does. It does. So the park project that I was telling you about, I was working to kind of vision it first, and the landscaping. I started thinking about how I wanted it to look on the ground and how I would work with the engineer who does that. You know, how do we, what kind of plants do we want it to have? And, you know, how do we want it to look on the surface? So it lets me be a little more creative there. And, what did you actually, wait, how did you say that? The question, can you say that again?
I just, you know, like the artsy side, creativity side, you know, influencing the engineering part and then vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then the engineering side, I'm always looking at the environment and like I said, geometry and how things fit together in spaces. So I put that, that engineering side in my artwork as well. So.
Well, and I think that you did a fabulous job with the Save the Crash Test Dummies book. Okay. Because I wrote the book and, you know, we, you were actually the first illustrator that I got to work with. So yay.
Yay.
But I mean, I wrote all the words and you kind of imagine what you think, you know, the character that if you're not familiar with our book is Crash, who is a crash test dummy. And I envisioned him being funny and all exciting. And that is exactly what Tamika made him look like. I'll still never forget when our editor, Kathy Landor, texted me the picture of the front cover and Crash is kind of coming out of a car. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, she nailed this. So, you know, I think that's exactly where your engineering side meets your art side, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Doing the illustrations for that was so fun because a lot of times people think that picture books or children's books are supposed to be really cute and, you know, all this really sweet stuff. But that let me bring out my other side and do some really fun things with Crash. That made illustrations a little more interesting.
The one where the car's all crunched,
yeah,
you know, and he's just kind of in the middle. Or my favorite one is where he's actually holding a head out the side, somebody else's head, another Crash's dummy's head. Yeah. It was just very creative, and you know, we will put pictures of these up on our website so you guys can all see Tamika's amazing illustrations. But I think when you look particularly at these, you can totally see her engineering and art together in a really funny way.
Yeah. And if you think about it too, like how do you draw a car? You have to understand how a car is shaped in order to draw a car. And you have to look at it enough to understand how to put it on a piece of paper or in your computer that's flat. So how do you look at a three-dimensional object and turn it into something that's just a picture? I definitely was bringing in the engineering side.
I mean, now you have other amazing art that doesn't have engineering in it. Yeah. I'm just saying that one was a great example.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you, Tamika, I love the illustrations you did for Crash Test Dummies, and I love, I'm envisioning the park that you spoke about in Atlanta that you helped create. And so it's obvious that you've been really successful, but every engineer and artist and scientist that has come in here have let us in on their secrets and told us about their epic fails and some of the mistakes they made along the way. Can you reveal any of those?
I don't make mistakes. What are you talking about? Oh my gosh. You know what? Let me say it like this. Because civil engineers work together, none of us work in isolation. And so it's kind of hard to make an epic fail because you have so many safeguards. And if you know anything about engineers, they're always asking questions. They're always analyzing, is this right? Is this the right direction to go? How long is it going to take? How much is it going to cost? So there's always somebody that's checking you along the way. So if there's a failure, it's an epic failure that everybody takes, they take the hit for. So, and that does happen. But I'm not putting myself out there on Front Street. Nope. I'm not doing it.
Well, and the thing is I think you learn from those along the way. Like if someone's chose a design and maybe your design is a little off, then someone would be like, oh, hey, right, is that going to work that way? Right. So you catch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the things too, as you were talking about that I loved is a lot of kids, one of the things they love about sports is they don't love the sport as much as they love being on a team and being part of a team and knowing that you have your teammates out there to back you up. So if you're playing second base, you have the right fielder and the center fielder are there to back you up in case you make a mistake. And what you're saying is you play on a team. You have all these teammates there ready to back you up and have you back and help you catch something before it becomes an epic failure.
Yes, yeah. And that's the great thing about engineering too. Is you're not out there on your own. You do have people to ask questions to and to support you. So it is really a team environment, all the way from the people who pay for the projects down to the people who actually use the projects in the community. So you're working even with the community. So everybody that uses what you are imagining is a part of your team.
Cool.
Yeah.
So if a kid wants to be a civil engineer like you, What should they study?
Yeah, I would study math and science. That's first and foremost. But even like nowadays, if you study art and things like literature are also important. You have to know how to use computers. So really, engineering is a well-rounded education. You get to learn a lot about everything, but it's really heavy on the math and science. So there's going to be a lot of that. But it's also important to balance that out with, knowing different, how to read well. And right. Because you have to be able to take in information. Engineering teaches you how to learn. And if you can learn math and science, you can probably learn a lot of different things too. So, yeah. It's a great field to go into.
That's awesome. Tamika, one of the things we love to do here on the show is we want to involve our listeners. We like the show to be totally interactive, and we love to challenge our listeners. So is there a challenge that you have for our listeners tonight?
Okay. I want to challenge the listeners to take two straws and get some water and some oil in a bowl. So you're going to get two straws, water, oil, and a bowl. And you're going to pour a little bit of water, well, maybe a lot of water, into one of the straws, and then pour water into the second straw, oil into the second straw, and see which one goes into the bowl faster.
Oh. Yeah. So you're testing flow, the two different materials, and you're trying to see which one goes faster and which one goes slower. Maybe they make a hypothesis before they do this, right? They think what it would be.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
And then test it and see which one turned out.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm wondering if your listeners guessed which one they would actually think would be slower or faster.
Well, I have a guess, but I might be wrong, so I'm not putting that out there on Front Street.
Smart man.
Come on, give us your guess. Give us your guess.
Well, I'm guessing, too, that this would be fun. You mentioned water and oil, yes. And I'm thinking it might also be fun, like, if it's okay with the parent, to try other liquids like chocolate milk or spaghetti sauce or...
Ooh, well, like honey.
Honey, yeah.
It would be great. Yeah. I'm wondering how fast it would go through, the honey would go through the straw.
Oh, yeah. So then you're going to need more straws. So here's what you're going to do. Once you do this challenge, take a picture of it with all your straws and tell us which material you used and which was the fastest and which was the slowest. Mm-hmm. And tag us in our Twitter and Instagram, Solve It Kids Podcast. No, I can't even say this. Solve It Podcast for Kids. Fix that one. Let me try it. Tag us on Twitter and Instagram at Solve It Podcast for Kids. And we will also tag Tamika so she can look at it. And then maybe she'll give us the right answer at the end of all this and cheer you on, because you'll all be engineers, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm really psyched. I know we made some gravy the other night. I'm gonna try that.
Sure. Yeah, gravy's good. All right, you try that and take a picture, Jed, and then tag us so we can look at it.
You got
maybe
it.
Maybe I'll do the spaghetti sauce.
Okay, yeah, well, I make a great spaghetti sauce. It's not gonna move at all because there's so much stuff in it. It's just gonna sit there and
I'm gonna try the honey. That was my idea. So we're all gonna do this and post it on our Instagram. And on our Twitter, so we can see. And then we want you guys all to post yours and we'll all just be engineers for the day.
Cool. Very cool.
This has been fabulous, Tamika. Thank you so much for being here with us. We learned so much about engineering and art.
Thank you. I'm so happy I could be here today. I love the show. Thank you so much.
Jennifer, as always, that was amazing. I learned so much from listening and speaking with Tamika.
She did a fabulous job of explaining what is kind of a complex thing. I mean, you never think about it, how you have to move underground water or water from like a lake or a pond to somewhere else and all the things that are involved. Wow.
I know, like the size of the pipes and the shape. It's just so much. This is so cool. We learned so much. Now, I am so excited. I can't wait to see what the kids come up with in meeting Tamika's challenge. That should be a lot of fun.
And don't forget to do the challenge. Good reminder, Jed. So go to our website, solveitforkids.com, find the challenge page, and you can read more about Tamika and the project that she worked on. See the picture of the park she helped to create. And also on our website, that's where you can sign up to become a team member, and you can see all of our other episodes and do all of the challenges. Don't forget, there's a book giveaway if you do a challenge.
That sounds awesome. Hey, Jennifer, thanks so much for inviting me here today. I learned so much, and this is awesome. Everybody out there, we'll see you next week on
Solve It.